We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay.
I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome back into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. We got LJ joining us this week. Pops, Uncle Tony, what's going on? LJ, we missed you last week.
What up? I'm glad to be back. Let's go.
What's up, LJ?
Glad to have you.
All right. So we have some... before we get started on this, because it's kind of going to segue into what our first topic will be, which is kind of what for the second week in a row... We leave Monday night kind of a little bummed out about an injury, but I wanted to first get your take on what do y'all think about, or just in general, if you have a bet on Nick Chubb, who tore his ACL, Twitter always blows up with people wanting to be refunded if they get injured. There's a lot of people. I think DraftKings actually did refund, or one of the websites refunded people last week if you had Aaron Rodgers props because he blew his Achilles. What is your thoughts on that? LJ, I think I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, no, I think that's baloney. You make a bet. It's based on sports. The sports can have injuries. Like, that's the risk you're taking. That's part of why the odds are the way that they are. Like,
is that agreement all around, or is there any?
I do agree completely with that. I guess I can see somebody maybe refunding Aaron Rodgers four plays, but still, I mean, they don't have to. That was out of their own sweetheart, you know.
Go ahead. Yeah, when I see that, L, I roll my eyes at it. I'm like, that's what we signed up for it.
I put money on Arkansas winning. Should I get my money back because they didn't? Like, sorry. That's the way it works.
I thought Nick Chubb was about to have a big day. I had him at like over 80 yards, over 90 yards. Mm-hmm. It looked like all of them were going to hit. And you know what? He gets hurt. It sucks. Yeah. It's a bummer, but... It's this little thing called gambling, and it's a gamble. You
know? Right. It's not an investment.
It's nice when the sports book does do that sometimes. Like if they have, because the sports books know they're probably going to get it back. You're probably going to gamble again, and you'll lose at some point. That's why they do it in the first place. So sometimes when they offer it, it's nice. But the people who expect it to get refunded because of an injury, especially now, if you bet on Nick Chubb, and then right before kickoff, out of nowhere, there was no reports out of kickoff. They say he's not playing.
I think that's fair to refund. Yeah.
That's possible. Yeah. Then I think you can complain for a refund. But even if he gets hurt on the first play of the game, it's football. That's what we do. That's what we're watching. So
I agree. Sorry, but, brothers.
So that gets us into let's talk a little, Nick Chubb. He tears. I don't know if they've came out yet. We're recording this Tuesday. I don't know if they've said torn ACL, but I know they said done for the year, major knee injury. It looked bad. I don't know the last time I've seen Pops. Do you remember a time where it happened and they wouldn't show the replay? Aikman and Joe Buck said, we've been told the injury is very tough to watch. And then you can even hear the crowd when it was kind of tough to hear the crowd who saw on the Jumbotron, like a collective just, they just saw something bad. I mean, do you remember the Damar Hamlin is my first thought, and they showed that replay over and over again.
Yeah, I think
they
showed Alex Smith.
Yeah. I remember maybe hearing him say, you may want to look away. We're going to only show this once, you know, or something like that. But I never saw the injury. In fast motion, I couldn't see really what happened. And y'all know how I'm squeamish about
even the initial replay. If you watch it from the same angle, there's another angle where it does show what you would expect from a bad knee injury. I don't need to go in detail, but I understand why maybe you choose not to show it. Just, I don't feel like they do that often. They might only show it one time, but.
Well, so did it just knock his knee backwards? Was it kind of the Willis McGahee kind of thing, or was it sideways?
How would you, Tony? It was kind of sideways, wouldn't you say? Or
what? It was a Teddy Bridgewater where the knee completely went the direction that it was not supposed to go. It went outward. So his left leg was planted. They came in and hit him right there. And instead of the knee, it just was backwards.
Yeah, which is his bad college knee, right?
It is
right. It's in college, he did not tear an ACL, but he tore his ACL,
every MCL, other CL,
and
yeah.
dislocated his kneecap. I think it was the same knee, which is a bummer because Nick Chubb is one of the best running backs of this era. Maybe I mean
when I'm reading, I don't know, they're not doctors or anything, but I'm reading people talking about like the scar tissue that is definitely within that knee. Like it's going to be so hard to repair. Like, do you guys think this could be career? Like,
there's obviously, I don't know, none of us are doctors or stayed at a Holiday Inn last
night. Hey, John Payne, what you think?
But I would think it's going to be, I don't know if we'll see the same Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's done. I interestingly, I saw, here's a comprehensive list of all the players to average 5 yards a carry in five consecutive seasons at any point in their career. Nick Chubb from 2018 to 2022. And that's it. That's the list. Mm. That is the entire list of running backs to ever do that.
I wished I could remember the list I saw, but there was a list he was on, and the only other guys were Adrian Peterson, Jim Brown, and like one other guy that was like
unbelievable. That's good company.
So good company. He's a special back.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
I hope he can be back.
Me too.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He was headed for the Hall of Fame if he had had the same year this year, and he carried that 5 yard carry through this year. It's going to be difficult for him now, but.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the list is. You're right. Okay. Running backs with 8 rushing touchdowns in each of their first 5 seasons. Nick Chubb, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jim Brown, Adrian Peterson, Emmett Smith. So,
wow.
You're just,
when I want to maybe say 6,000. No, that wouldn't be right. Something else. But yeah. That was essentially
that's
it.
Crazy.
He was on pace for a Hall of Fame career. I guess there could still be one. I don't know. It's tough to tell. And hopefully.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and there's somebody else on that list, right, that like had like a debilitating knee injury and came back better than he ever was, right? Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guess all
the running backs out there were going, this is why we got to get paid. Because what do we got?
That's right.
I mean, running back injuries, we've already seen Barkley went down this past weekend. It's an ankle injury, not a season ending one.
Yeah.
But we've already seen some decent running. I mean, I guess that's part of the game plan, RB, Tone?
Yeah,
that's the game plan. And, you know, that's why the running backs have the shortest lifespan as far as a position is concerned in the NFL. And, you know, as a seventh year back, as Nick Chubb was one of the older backs in the NFL and as far as tenure. And this just goes to show, and it's really tough to do. The hope for him, I'll say this, the hope for him is for him to have a Marcus Allen type of turnaround. I don't think we'll see 5 yards of carry anymore from him. I guess there could be a second coming of Adrian Peterson, but Marcus Allen was very effective in the latter parts of his stage of his career after injury as a goal line back. So Nick Chubb has that kind of mentality, and they do crazy things now with ACLs. But it looked really significant, like Teddy Bridgewater, ACL, MCL, LCL.
Well, I think to LJ's point, if this was the only injury that might, but since it's the same knee that's already got so much scar tissue, again, we're not doctors, but it I don't know. I think we're pulling for Chubb.
It seems scary for Chubb. And yeah, I'm hoping he recovers well.
Yeah.
It's better for football if he's doing well, for sure.
Yeah. Another, a stat from Monday Night Football, and then we can kind of get into a more broader look of just week two and where we're at in the NFL. But TJ Watt, now the all-time sack leader in Pittsburgh.
Really?
And he's not very old. I mean, no, it's a big deal to be the all-time sack leader in Pittsburgh, regardless how old you are, Pops, right? I mean, for the people out there who don't realize, that's linebacker you down there.
Yeah.
You know, something that just occurred to me, IT might have to look it up, but certainly there's more passing, right? There's more opportunities to sack than there used to be. You have to think back in the days of Mean Joe Green and Lambert and Ham and all that, that they had some sacks, but they had, of course, less games per year, too.
I think it's, a combination of the two, maybe.
But, right, less dropbacks. We have more dropbacks and opportunities now than we certainly used to.
That's true.
But still very impressive. And TJ Watt, by the way, pretty impressive player. Yeah.
TJ Watt has 81 and a half sacks in 89 career games. He's almost averaging a sack a game. And James Harrison, who was the sack leader before last night, had 80 and a half sacks in 177 games. So double the amount of games. So, and Harrison, and
who was in his career a fucking stud. Like, yeah, absolutely serious. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think on this pod, we can sometimes get a little Micah Parsons heavy on the talk. And I do think it's worth every bit of it. But there's a TJ Watt's in that conversation. If you told me you think TJ Watt's a better defender, I'll listen to it. I think I would maybe take Parsons, but it's hard to deny what you see with TJ Watt. I mean, got in the end zone too.
Yeah.
Tony, I see a smirk on your face. Are you
better? Better than Bosa.
I was about to say, if he was a Bosa brother.
I'll take the Watt brothers over the Bosa brothers anyway.
Well, I think you're probably right on that. I mean, I like the Bosa brothers more than you do, but the Watt brothers are a tier above.
Well, after mentioning Parsons, that might get us to the next topic. And this is just overall, after what you've seen in 2 weeks of the NFL. Pops, who is the best team in the NFL?
I like how you colored that.
Well, I think I'm going to call the same two names probably that y'all said, and they're on a collision course, I think, in week five or six. But it's the Cowboys and the 49ers. And I think the thing, I'm going to put the Cowboys slightly ahead, probably because I'm a homer and because they've had 70 points for and 10 points against. That defense is gnarly, but San Francisco's is pretty good too, and they have a hell of an offense. So I can't pick one or the other. If I had to, I'm going to pick the Cowboys slightly above the 49ers, but we go to San Francisco, I think, whenever we play. I think that game is in San Francisco.
Let's see, when is that game? Week five. It's Sunday Night Football.
Must watch TV.
LJ, best team in the NFL. It doesn't have to be one of those two teams.
It doesn't have to be, but it is. If the Super Bowl were played tomorrow, it's going to be these two teams playing in it. It's going to be two NFC teams playing in the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to do that.
But. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, the Super Bowl shouldn't be in week three anyway. So there's a lot of mess. I think the Cowboys have the best defense in the NFL and an offense that is more than just serviceable. They're a good offense. And then I think the 49ers are the most well-balanced team in the NFL. So, I can't wait to see them play each other. I think that's going to be a slugfest.
Tony, do you have either one of those two definitive the number one team or just that's the class of the top?
I mean, the Broncos are number one. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
I bet we get to them.
I bet we get to them in the
number one in your heart.
Lock of the week.
No, I'm going to put a wild card in this, and I'm going to take San Francisco out of the top two and add Philadelphia. I was looking at that. I watched the San Francisco LA game a lot this weekend, and LA had some success. I don't think San Francisco's secondary.
Was it Puka?
Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell. Those are the two best starting wide receivers in the NFL. At least name-wise.
They could be, Tony.
Is Cooper Kupp going to get his job back when he's healthy?
I don't
know. He may not. He may be a slot receiver from this point forward. But they did have success against him, and Kyren Williams did have some success on the ground. And so I would not have expected that from San Francisco with what we were seeing from the Rams. We saw the Seahawks bounce back after that debacle week one. We won't talk about that, but so I'm a little concerned about San Francisco's back end defense. And so Dallas has the best defense in the NFL. The speed of that is amazing. But Philadelphia has managed to win in a couple of interesting ball games where, you know, there's always going to be two or three teams now that are 1-1, maybe an 0-2 team that's going to shine here in the next 4 or 5 weeks, just because of the crazy things that happened in the first couple weeks of the season. But I'm putting Philly and Dallas in there as the best team.
Is interesting to me just because, and Philly could definitely become that, because I think they got, I don't know why, it looks like it was a big mistake for teams letting Jalen Carter drop down to 9. He looks like a total game wrecker for the middle. Him and Jordan Davis, the two Bulldogs they have in the middle, they look great. Their defense looks really good. Jalen Hurts looks a little off. I don't know if that's just a little rusty to start the season or if maybe Shane Steichen was kind of That's the OC they had. That's now the head coach for the Colts. I wonder if part of that's the missing piece, but their talent wise, Philadelphia matches up there with anybody.
So last thing I'll say here on this, I know we want to move forward. When you can take your number one running back from the week before and bench him for ribs and put in DeAndre Swift, a guy that you just signed, and he runs for 140 yards, you haven't even gotten to Rashad Penny yet. That is depth in the backfield, and we just talked about Nick Chubb. And I think that, man, this Philly team is a running team, and we kind of forget that with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. But because Jalen Hurts can look a little shaky, and if he's shaky and they're 2-0.
Yeah, wait till he's on.
Wait till he's on. And
well, and they do have an impossible play to stop. I mean, that I get that tush push or whatever we're calling it now. It just – you cannot – if it's within a yard, he's going to get it every single time.
It's free.
I will say this. I wonder if anyone has sent film of that tush push to the Arkansas Razorbacks to show them this is how you do a quarterback sneak.
Well, they don't have a big quarterback to do that, right, Tony?
No.
They don't have a big guy.
Just a little guy, yeah.
Just anyway. So
we might get into Razorback talk at the end, but we'll save that.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, real quick then. So we just mentioned the top two teams Tony had one different team, but we all mentioned NFC teams. I just want to know who's the top team in the AFC, Pops, in your eyes.
Well, I wrote down all the 2-0 teams. I guess the next team I have up on that list is the Ravens. And I do think they looked pretty decent last week, which we need to talk about the Bengals. And I think Lamar Jackson had a surprisingly, had a really great game, better than his stats would show. I guess I'm going to go with them, Kevin, right now.
Ravens?
Yeah.
Tone, who you got? I mean, it doesn't have to be a 2-0 team. It could be.
No, it doesn't. But
I'm going to say Miami, just with the caveat.
Oh, I forgot about them being in the AFC. You're right. My bad.
As long as Tua is healthy, I think.
Do you switch your answer there, Pops? Do you agree with Tony then?
They are the AFC.
I almost said that they were an honorable mention for best team in the NFL. So,
so they're up there. Yeah.
I don't know why I just missed that. But
the week six Super Bowl is Miami against the winner of Dallas and San Francisco. Yeah.
Miami does, if Tua is healthy, those receivers look good. Mostert looked good. Tua looks very accurate. And I was impressed on Sunday night. So we've now seen him win in two different ways. I mean, the offense still looked good Sunday night, but the defense really stepped up. So they don't have to win in shootouts is what that kind of showed me, which is an impressive. That's but
pretty big deal,
I kind of think Tony, and I'm ready for us to not have to say this because, as y'all know, I've been not the leader, but I'm on the board for Tuanon. And so I'm a believer in Tua and the Dolphins, but we got to keep going if Tua's healthy. That asterisk still sticks there just from what we saw last year. And I think it stays there until we see a full healthy year. LJ, is that who you have as the best?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think if we, again, stop the season right now, yeah, I would say so. But I do think that the Bills are still a good football team. Josh Allen's going to turn over the ball sometimes, but he's going to win more than he loses.
Should he look good last week? That looked like some of those throws he made were like, oh, yeah, there's only a few guys on the planet that can do what
we've got. We've got a Favre-style guy, but I think probably better than Favre running out there. I mean, he's going to turn the ball over sometimes, and that's going to lose a couple of games, but he's going to win a lot more than he loses. So they've got real potential. And spoiler for later, I think the Bengals, we shouldn't give up on them yet. Okay. They're still a very talented team.
Yeah.
But
the Dolphins are
said out loud,
cream of the crop.
Because I feel like prestige worldwide is just laughing at us right now. No one's even mentioned the Chiefs. They're the reigning champs.
I intentionally didn't mention them.
LJ, it didn't surprise me that you didn't say the Chiefs. Yeah. When you started this act like you were going to go off the beaten path a little bit, I was like, there's no way he says
Chiefs. No, he does not say the Chiefs here. Yeah, he does not.
So here's what I think's going on with the Chiefs. You know, if you drink Jack Daniels for 3 years straight and nothing but Jack Daniels, and all of a sudden you go 2 weeks without drinking Jack Daniels, you don't feel very good. I think the Chiefs are doing the same thing with Eric Bieniemy. They've been 3 years with Eric Bieniemy, and now they're having Bieniemy withdrawals, and they're trying to figure out who this offense is.
Yeah.
And I think that's showed the last 2 weeks. And I think by the time they get into the middle of the season, they're going to be okay.
Well, let me ask something to that, Tony, because it seemed like everything I said or was reading was saying Andy Reid was really running that offense, that it wasn't Bienemy. But, I mean, you certainly make a valid point because that's what's changed, and they don't look as good. What do you know about that? I mean, how much was Bienemy really calling plays and running the offense?
Reid would tell you that he was running the offense. Now, the other people would say that Reid was running the offense. I think it'd be interesting. This is something for IT to look up probably, is what happened to the Chiefs when Matt Nagy left and took that the job with the Bears. I know we don't really want to talk about the Matt Nagy Bears, but why not?
Well, we can have this conversation without actually talking about the Matt Nagy Bears.
Matt Nagy's back at the Chiefs, by the way.
The year that he, when Nagy left, is back.
He's the quarterback's coach.
Yeah. If the Chiefs took him a little time to get started that year.
While he's looking that up, Tony, I think probably what's slowing down the offense just to start, this isn't the first time, one, that they've started out. So I remember maybe last week or last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, they had that game where they lost to the Titans like 31-3 after, and that was like 2-3. Like, is Mahomes maybe, you know, is the defense figured him out? And then he went on to win like MVP or something. So
yeah,
I think it's a little bit of Kelce was missing week one. Kelce's obviously very important. And then they're still trying to figure out who's the other receivers on the outside. It looks like they're trying to make Kadarius Toney that guy. I don't know if he will or not. He had another fumble, I think, this past week, but they got on it. He didn't lose it. But is it going to be Sky Moore? Sky Moore had a couple plays. I think they're just figuring things out. And as long as 15's at quarterback for them, I bet they'll be in it.
They'll be in it. Yeah.
This might be, I think Nagy left in the end of the 2018 season. They won the Super Bowl the next season. So they improved when he left. So,
yeah. I just wonder what the first two games were like, two, three games.
I can tell you. Give me a second.
Yeah.
If maybe it took just a second to fit. Yeah, pops to your.
They won the first game 40-26, second game 28-10, third game they won 33-28.
Well, there goes that theory.
Yeah, no, they continue to crush it. Nagy was not the guy. Bienemy might have been. We'll see.
We're just doing smart analysis here. You have a theory, and mm-hmm. We'll see if the numbers back it up.
That's how science works.
They don't, Tony. Yeah.
They don't.
We're doing
scientific method here. Mm-hmm.
So there's also now we're going to go from some of the best teams in the NFL to, I'm not saying these are the worst teams in the NFL, but let's look at some of those teams that are 0-2 who have yet to get a W in this young season. The one I want to start with, and it's one LJ kind of mentioned, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Are they hitting the panic button, LJ, or do they know? Have they located the panic button? They're ready to hit it, but they're not doing it just yet. Where are they at?
I think if we could rewind the podcast exactly 1 year, we're having this exact same conversation, and the answer is, well, if you look last year, they had the exact same situation, and they ended up going to the Super Bowl. So I think that the Bengals just start out weak, and I don't really know why, but I have every bit of faith that they're
well.
Potential Super Bowl winners. I mean, I don't.
I would agree. And I'm, this is not me saying bury them. They're done. They're over. But I feel like they start out slow in previous seasons because for whatever reason, whether it be COVID 1 year or getting his appendix removed last year, I think for Burrow and then his cap, he misses the preseason a lot. So he's rusty, like Tony talked about last week. But what scares me a little more than normal is I don't think that calf was right. And we saw him limping a lot last week. And then he limped off the field. Looks like he re-aggravated. It sounds like they're calling him day-to-day and acting like he's going to play through it. But, Tony, didn't you read that there's a lot of conflicting reports about Burrow?
Yeah, read three different things that he's going to fight through it and he'll be fine. It was just a slight re-aggravation. It's just a sore calf. Then there was that he won't play this week to give it some rest. And then that if it doesn't respond to treatment, that they may put him on IR and he'll be out to week 7. I think that's
it. Just worries me. I think they should. I think they, and probably Burrow being who Burrow is, wanting to play through things. And also I could see Burrow, he just signed a very rich deal and now all of a sudden he's not playing through a calf injury. He probably wanted to get back out on the field, but I think probably Zach Taylor should have just put in the back. I think it's Jake Browning's the backup. Put in the backup. Now they're 0-2 and maybe re-aggravated the injury. And this could be something he deals with all year. Tony, where are you at with the panic button for the Panther, or I mean the Bengals.
Right, with LJ, I don't think there's any reason to push a panic button here. They're a very talented team. Even Jake Browning comes in and plays 1 week. I think they're very close to – they should have won the game against the Ravens this past weekend. They had the opportunity to do that. And they historically play bad against Cleveland. They should never have their first game of the year be against Cleveland. But I think they're going to be fine. Now, if we're at 0-4, that's a different story. But I think there's enough talent that they can survive this, even if Burrow's out this week. Now, if Burrow's out 4 weeks, that means they're probably going 2-2 during that span, and that puts them at 2-4. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking something different. You know, they would really have to rally, which they've done.
Well, and just to point out, the next week is home against the Rams. Then we go away, Titans, Cardinals. Then we're back at home against the Seahawks. So
Rams are frisky.
That's kind of a tough. Rams are that's kind frisky, of a tough four games.
It's not the toughest four games it could be. You know,
right? Yeah, at least they're not going.
Not a lot of quarterbacks. Browns again, in those games.
Ravens. But. Yeah. Pops, what about you? It sounds like Tony and L are going RELAX with the Bengals. Is that you kind of in that? You don't have to pick a total side, but which way are you kind of leaning when it comes to
I don't, I'm
concerned.
If I'm at the Bengals, I know where the panic button is. I know where it is.
You've checked the exits.
I mean, yeah.
He went and checked the drawer that it's in, and he was like, yep, still here. Okay,
you know, I got the safety over the button. You know, I'm not like going to accidentally bend over and hit it or anything.
But if you need your resume is up to date.
But I know where it is, but I'm worried about Burrow a little bit. You know, I just, maybe he came back a little too quickly. And I think you probably really hit the nail on the head. He probably wanted to play because he's got that big, huge contract.
And in general, I think he wants to play.
And I mean, you guys know I like him. I think mm-hmm. he's Joe Cool, but I know where the button is if I'm the Bengals.
That's not wrong.
Other 0-2, there's a few 0-2 teams that we expected to be there, so we're not going to get into some of those. I think those are the teams that are thinking they might be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. The other ones I want to go to, and Tony, I'll just let you pick who you want to talk about. Maybe or one of these hitting the panic button. You got the Patriots, you have the Los Angeles Chargers, and you have the Denver Broncos. Out of those three, are you hitting the panic button on any of those three?
Okay, so I thought about this, and I'm not. I will say,
I like those choices you gave him, Kev.
So Chargers definitely not. However, there's an interesting game this weekend. The Chargers play the Vikings. Mm. They're both 0-2, and I think the loser.
That's a big game.
It's a pick'em game.
Who is it? Sorry, the Chargers and Vikings.
And the Vikings.
Chargers.
Oh, loser leave town.
Yeah, and so the loser's 0-3. If the loser is the Chargers, I think they've got a problem because there's something wrong with the team. But there's no reason for them to panic. They're one game out of first because Kansas AFC City West is just not firing yet. Yeah. And so and if the Raiders are the other team there, geez, what are you worried about? So I think they're fine. All the AFC is pretty much 1-1. So there's a lot of ground to cover. But if they lose to the Vikings this weekend, I think they're in trouble.
It's going
to
be tough.
LJ, out of that selection of teams, the same ones that they're at to Tony, are you panicking on any of them? Maybe one you're a little closer to than
I look, here's the deal. I'm not going to panic about the Broncos because I didn't expect them to do well. I
did have a fun Broncos stat for you, LJ.
Oh, God, what?
Well, it's more of a Sean Payton stat. Before Sunday, Sean Payton was 72-0 and leading by 18 points or more in a game. He's now 72-1 in such games.
I got a question, though. Am I a homer, or should they have called pass interference on that two-point conversion?
They should have. I think Sean Payton was pissed, and that shouldn't have passed.
I'm just making sure I'm not crazy. That felt like that was pretty
obvious. You're probably a homer, but that's one
if
where
a Hail Mary gets you there, you know.
The Hail Mary that What's didn't actually make it to the end zone? They got
No, it was like 5 yards short and batted in, yeah.
The wildest ending to a game.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse. Getting a Hail Mary and not being able to win the game, or hitting a hole in one when you're by yourself. You know, I just don't know which is worse. I think the averages may be the same.
That was brutal to watch, but I think I'd probably rather do that than hit a hole in one with nobody around, if I'm going to be honest. I mean, I didn't think the Broncos were like Super Bowl bound this year. So I'm not like, I don't have a lot of feelings about how bad they look.
Is it a similar vibe for the Chargers Patriots then?
Or the Chargers I have high expectations.
They had some
for.
Expectations.
I have high expectations for the Chargers. And so this is kind of like, I'm a little scared if I'm a Chargers fan right now. Patriots, I'm not too worried about. I think they're another team that I don't feel bad about if they get a couple of losses. They're always going to be a pretty competitive team. But the Chargers, I feel like, are a much more emotional team. And so I feel like the two losses early on is going to matter, especially like you said, if they lose to the Vikings, that's going to be rough on that team, I think. So that's where I stand.
Well, the Chargers and the Patriots, I don't think, similar to what you said, I mean, they wanted to make the playoffs thing, but similar to what you said with the Broncos, I don't think a true Patriot fan, I mean, the bias gets in, but I don't know how much expect. Like, it's not
Simmons
like
wasn't saying like they're going to be Super Bowl champions, right?
Like, yeah.
And
so, they did play well with the Eagles, who were in the Super Bowl last year, and then the Dolphins, who some of us just said might be the best team in the AFC. So, I mean, there are some takeaways to take to come out of those with. Before I leave, I want to talk about the Chargers, but the pitch. So, on Sunday Night Football, Gesicki gets it just short of the first down line, pitches it back to an offensive lineman. You get a big boy running the ball. And they say they ruled on the field it was a first down. I think it was probably short, but I don't think that's really hard to overturn. I don't know if I felt okay if they should have overturned that. One, because it's just a fun freaking play, and it looked like he might have got it. But did any of y'all think that was enough evidence to overturn it?
Well, let me ask a question there. What happened to the rule you had to have irrefutable evidence to overturn a call on the field?
I think that's still the rule, and that's why the announcer even was like, I'm pretty sure he's short, but since there's
but
not
you,
a...
You could not irrefutably say that. I don't feel like. So
Tony,
they shouldn't have overturned
the
call
saying,
on the
Tony,
field.
I agree, except for, here's the thing we didn't know. The camera angle that they had, they were shooting over towards the 10-yard marker that they placed by hand. And so the only thing that was irrefutable, I think, is you could tell that the football did not pass that yard marker. If on the other side of the field, the actual yard marker, the 10-yard marker was past that hash mark, then I think that's irrefutable. Yeah. But the thing about it is, from where you could see, I don't know how you made a change to placing that ball. To me, there's no way you could irrefutably say the ball hadn't made it to the marker. So that's the only thing we couldn't see, is if on the other side the action, the official one, was past that yard marker. And that's the only thing I can think of that would.
Aren't they using? I mean, they don't see anything we can't see, do they?
Well, if they had flipped the camera angle back the other way, we would have seen the other marker.
I think they're not seeing anything we can't see, but they might see things that network doesn't decide to go to.
Yeah.
So the ref could have said, "Hey, the official yard marker is past that hash
that
mark."
Hash, yeah.
Do we have irrefutable evidence that he's past the hash? No. Yes, we have irrefutable evidence. He's not past the
hash.
That's
a good point.
In the newest,
but it was a hell of a play.
Dumb rules that make no sense. If an offensive lineman ends up with the ball in his hand at any point and gets that close to a first down,
give it to him.
You just move the chains.
Well, you get that big man 6 inches. Lunged, kept his knees up. I mean, he
saw the ball in there. Yeah. One offensive lineman saw the ball in there and was like, oh shit, is he throwing this to us? And Cole Strange, the guy who got it, was like, my time to shine. He jumped up, grabbed it. Like, he was ready.
And that's so to LJ's point, that is two close games that the Patriots have finally gotten going in the last. They're going to be dangerous in the next few games because they're getting it. They're figuring it out.
You know who they have next? They have Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. And Belichick's going to have something.
I bet they can figure out Zach Wilson.
I bet Belichick's going to have something for Zach Wilson. So that's what I think.
I do think – so I'm with you on – I don't think the Patriots are necessarily panicking. But the Chargers – and it's kind of mainly what LJ said. It's piggybacking off that where I don't know if I would have picked them to go to the Super Bowl just because they burned me so many times before. But they had – they came into the year going, we have a Super Bowl roster. We just paid our quarterback franchise money. We got a good running back. You know, we signed all these guys. We got a Bosa, Khalil Mack.
We got a great coach.
We haven't gotten any worse. We've only gotten better. Yeah.
But That's kind of the problem. And I think if you listen to his press conferences, the coach is Staley's starting to answer questions like a coach who knows he might be a little, the seat's getting a little warm. He's getting a little defensive, and they're supposed to be a defensive coach, or he's supposed to be a defensive coach, and he got lit up by the Dolphins, which Dolphins are a good team. And then this past week, Ryan Tannehill went 20 of 24 and completed 83% completion percentage. That's the second best single number in his career. And this is coming off a week last week where we were all making fun of, like, is Tannehill need to be benched? Like, he looked god awful, and he has a good game. And then since 2010, this is just another fun Charger stat for you. Since 2010, teams with 275 plus passing yards and no turnovers are 382-96. That's a win percentage of 80%. With the loss to the Titans, the Chargers are 2 of the 96. Oof. It just,
jeez.
You can't lose these games. And then Brandon Staley's starting to answer stuff like, we're a good team. No, we're not letting. He said they're not letting the Jaguars loss linger. Because if you remember in the playoffs, they had the Jaguars dead to rights and let them come all the way back in the playoffs. But towards the second half of that game, they seemed like they were playing conservative, like a team that didn't want to lose the game. I don't know. It just,
when they've got
LJ's right. I think they're an emotional team. They go 0-3. It's a different 0-3. And then if the Bengals go 0-3, I'm like, they've been there.
Well, if they go 0-3, they play Las Vegas, which, you know, I feel like they should win against the Raiders. But then they go Cowboys, then Chiefs. Like, they could, if they go 0-3, they could start the season. What would that be? 1-5 at best.
That'd
be tough.
That'd be Brandon Staley's on the market.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not really Kellen Moore. I mean, one last fun Charger stat from Doug Clawson on Twitter. The Chargers are the 33rd team in the Super Bowl era with 50 plus points and zero turnovers through two games. They're the only one of those teams to start 0-2. So Kellen Moore's doing fine.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore might have made a good choice by going over there.
They're rushing. They only rushed for 61 total yards in the game
this past weekend.
So
that's right.
Yeah, Eckler was out. So
well, right.
But well, they also had Herbert.
Your whole team is Herbert, and
yeah that's, you know. it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
So hey, if you had to say right now, Bengals make the playoffs, would y'all all say that?
Yeah.
I have to say yes. Yeah.
AFC's wide open. I know we got to move on, but there's a surprise team out there. I've been really surprised at how well they've played, and that's the Atlanta Falcons.
Agreed.
And the NFC South, there's three teams at 2-0. Anybody now? They've gotten to play two of them. Have gotten to play Carolina at least once each week, and Tampa got to play Minnesota and Carolina. But still, I think the Falcons have looked pretty good.
And is New Orleans not also 2-0? Do they not have three teams that are 2-0?
New Orleans is 2-0, and Tampa's 2-0.
Wow.
So I'm still not going to predict that all three of those teams make the playoffs, but
no, one of them does. But
one of them does. One of them will for sure.
And that's it. That is it.
That's it. But I think Atlanta looks a lot better than I thought they would. Desmond Ritter actually has a good start this season.
I agree with that.
I still probably say more often than not, don't draft a running back. Especially in like the top 15 picks, but boy, it's hard to not watch. When I watch Bijan Robinson, he looks like the best player on the field every time he touches the ball. And I don't hate that pick because he just looks so fast. He looks stronger. He makes people miss. I mean, he's
the real first round draft pick is the cheapest you'll ever get a running back because they'll either sit out or they won't be good. So,
and so let's get to the next one I had, which LJ, I kind of let you slide a little bit on your Broncos because you said you didn't have expectations for him.
I'm just saying, this one, look, I
don't think there's a way to skirt this one, and maybe he just doesn't get mentioned, or maybe no one chooses him. But of these, which quarterback is the first to be benched or traded? Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, or Russell Wilson?
You're asking me first?
Pops? Okay. No, I'll let Pops go.
I mean, I don't want to poop all over LJ, but
I know which one I want bench first, honestly.
Let's stop letting
Russ cook. Like, let's take his chef's hat off. I don't know. Let's find out what this team is without him, because I think the answer is probably Fields. I think Fields gets set down just for a moment, but I'd like to see Russ sit the bench. I'd like to see what that team looks like without him.
I was so ready. I shot a text to our group message because he had two different throws where he did one of those rainbow early in the first half, two deep throws that made us think, okay, well, that's the Russ. And then he went right back to the Russ that looked god awful again, where he's dinking and dunking.
I think he's a mess. I don't know what it is, but I think he's a mess. And I think that Sean Payton's Nathaniel Hackett comments are looking pretty silly because Nathaniel Hackett had a better record. But it's a rough team. They need to spend the rest of the year trying to figure out what 2024 looks like. Honestly, that's what the Broncos ought to do.
Well, and so I would have said, and I think I did say at some point, you're not going to see Russ bench because how much they paid him. But I think possibly with them going and getting Sean Payton and how much they paid Sean Payton, they trust him. And if he says, y'all just screwed up.
Yeah.
Y'all got a guy that's not good and I can't do it. Then maybe they tank and go for the first pick. Mm. But or do they even have their first round?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do. Oh,
God. Pops, what do you think? Out of Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson.
Zach Wilson, I don't think they have anywhere else to go. So I don't think Zach Wilson gets benched.
Yeah.
I mean, and do you know who Justin Fields' backup is?
Who?
Nathan Peterman.
Oh, classic.
So
the question is, where does Tom Brady start in week five? Is the question. Because nobody's got a backup.
For the Jets. But I think Peyton. Kind of to what LJ was saying a little bit too, though, but I think Sean Payton may make a point. Just nobody's bigger than this team. And, you know, they paid Stidham a reasonable amount of money for a backup. So I think he likes him. I think Russell Wilson could come back later in the year and maybe be better. I don't think he's as bad as he's showing now. But
I've been saying that for a while, though, Pops.
I agree. He's the first one of those benched, in my opinion. And
the Broncos do have their 2024 first round pick. And right now they are actually locked in for number one if the season ended right now. Mm-hmm. So stop trying to make it work. Figure out what
there is. Legitimately between Caleb Williams and Drake May, a lot of the scouts out there are saying these are two, a similar class to one of who was it with Andrew Luck? But didn't he have another guy in that class? I can't remember, but either way, two legit prospects. So if you're thinking about tanking, this could be the year to do it. Tony,
I just don't know. I can't remember if in the NFL you can eat a player's salary in order to trade him. And that's
get a bunch of dead money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the only way that Russell Wilson's getting traded. So I could see where if the Jets would be willing to give up a first round or maybe a couple of seconds
for
Russell Wilson, they could.
So bring Hackett and Russell back together.
Yeah. That certainly could be a possibility.
The marriage
weren't
good the first time.
I will say that. Yeah. I will say this.
I know we got divorced, but this time's going to be better.
It's going to work.
It's going to be better. But no, here's where I think the wild play
could
be.
We'll just live a quiet life in New York City.
Yeah. And it may happen. I don't know. If the Vikings go 0-4,
okay, here we go.
I think you could see a Kirk Cousins to the Jets. And that may involve Zach Wilson and a couple of draft picks.
Would you give the first, if you're the Jets, your first round pick, would you give it up for Kirk Cousins?
I think so. If you think this is if I've got an opportunity for the Super Bowl this year, I think so.
Pops?
Yes, I think so. But I just always wonder about could even Kirk Cousins, who I do think is a consummate pro, can he come in? And, I mean, it's a whole different offense. I know they're going to arrange it for him, but it just seems hard for a quarterback to come in week five or something like that and lead a team to the Super Bowl. Is there any precedent for that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I know of. I'm not.
I just think that continuity.
The reason I think it's interesting and it has a legitimate, there's some argument to it or that it could happen is
I like the theory.
Cousins agreed to a 1 year, $35 million, fully guaranteed extension. The man's made a lot of money, but the Vikings did not link him up long term. So they're not necessarily going Kirk. They said all the right things. Kirk's our guy. We hope we can, you know, we're going for the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. But they didn't give him the big deal. And if they can go, hey, Justin Jefferson, I know this is really going to hurt and we're just going to, it's going to suck to be a losing team for a year, but we're going to get Caleb Williams in here and we're going to be you and Caleb Williams for the next 10 years. It's a tough conversation to say for a team that went into the year going, maybe we could do it. But last year they won so many games by one score. You had to think they're probably going to have a little bit of regression to the mean. And if you start 0-3, or as Tony said, 0-4, you kind of dig a hole that you can't get out of.
Because I don't think they do. But if they do, if things go that bad, then I think you could see that.
If the Jets called and offered it to the Vikings would say, hell no, and hang up. And then on their other phone, they would text and go, let me think about it for a sec. You'd have to think about it. They'd tell the media, hell no, we aren't doing it. We're not doing it. Kirk's our guy. But they're...
Because it's a one-year rental, right? Because you've still got Aaron Rodgers' money sitting out there that you've paid for. So I don't know that they could work it cap-wise. You know,
that's why part of me wondered, would they maybe do, say the Patriots lose a couple more games, could they do a pick for Mac Jones and bring in, I think Mac Jones is better than Zach Wilson, but the problem is, like, best case scenario, whoever you bring in, so even if it's Kirk Cousins, best case scenario, he comes in and wins a Super Bowl. From everything I've heard, Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh are saying, we expect him to be back next year, Aaron Rodgers coming, all this stuff. If you win a Super Bowl with another quarterback, you're probably going to go, hey, Aaron, actually, we're worried about your cap.
And then he ends up in Minnesota pulling a Favre.
There you go.
An exact
Favre. All over again.
I don't know. That one's interesting. So, Pops, are you done? Actually, I want to ask LJ, just because you're in Chicago, what's the thoughts on Field? Are people kind of giving up on Fields? Or?
There is a Chicago optimism, which means that they understand that this is stupid. But they still are rooting for Fields to succeed, is the vibe I'm getting around here.
I think
Chicago optimism.
We know Fields it's dumb.
The talents, Fields has a good arm. He's obviously one of the more athletic guys on the field when he plays. But he just makes bonehead plays. He kind of holds on to the ball too long. It looks like he's trying so hard to be a pocket passer right now that he's screwing things up. I don't know. I want to say Fields is still going to be good, but they got their pick and they got the Panthers pick, which looks like it could be a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you bench Fields or trade Fields if you can get anything for him and just do the rebuild one more year. I don't know. I don't know. That one's interesting. Pops, would you give up on Fields? Are you kind of out on him?
Not in week two, no. I mean, I'm going to let him start the next 5-6 games and hope, you know, for some improvement, and then I'll make a decision. But he's got another 5 or 6 games for me. I mean, I've invested too much. I mean, I'm not giving up yet.
So, Tony, you're the one who proposed or at least brought up the Kirk Cousins trade. You think the Jets just they're stuck with Wilson, or do you think they do at least make some kind of move? Because I don't know from what you saw last week.
Yeah, they could bring somebody in like Jacoby Brissett. I've heard that rumor, and Jacoby's a good professional. Yeah,
honestly,
in some cases, but I think someone like that is out there. If San Francisco didn't have a history with Brock Purdy of him getting hurt, I think Sam Darnold would be a perfect candidate for a trade to the Jets. Yeah.
But
different admin. Yeah.
It just really feels like watching what I saw just in general from Zach Wilson, but what I saw even last week too. He almost looks like a golfer who's got the yips or a baseball. I mean, he's so nervous about, when am I going to make the play that's going to lose the game for this team? And he can feel it. Even though Garrett Wilson, bless his heart, is saying all the right things on the sideline after the game, Garrett Wilson, who is a stud, was like, we just got to make more plays for Zach. Zach's playing his heart out. We just got to make more plays for him. And everyone's saying the right things, but you can kind of feel it. They just know like, he's going to do that thing or something. And they run the ball on like 3rd and 10. They won't even pass. You can't keep going with that, with him at quarterback. I feel like it's a disservice to the rest of that locker room because he looks like he doesn't trust himself. I don't know what they do. I'm nervous for him.
There's a solution out there. I don't think he's that bad. I honestly, you know, if I had to put money on the line, I'd say Zach Wilson's going to be the quarterback of the Jets throughout the year. They're going to make the playoffs and lose the first game.
Wow. Okay. LJ, do you say you knew what the Jets could do? Did I see you?
No, what I was going to say was you brought up the Andrew Luck draft.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd go ahead and let you guys know what quarterbacks got drafted.
It was
along.
RG3.
It was RG3 was number two.
Yeah.
But then also this draft had a lot of Pro Bowl quarterbacks in it. Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, and Kirk Cousins. So basically almost everyone we've talked about in the last like 15 minutes was in this draft.
Wow. Who would have, what year is that?
It's the 2012 draft. Also,
who would have known? We were just doing a 2012 draft. We're just
So let's give a shout out to Brandon Whedon, Brock Osweiler, and Ryan Lindley as well.
The rocket ship. Baby.
Brock Lobster, baby.
There you go.
Okay, well, let's look through just I want to kind of recap maybe just any other winners you have from this week. I'm going to go first, and I'm just going to go with the Giants because somehow I'm still in my survivor pool. I don't know how. I just at halftime, I was like, well, that $20 is gone. And somehow maybe they were able to come back because the Cardinals went into half and were like, hey, we're supposed to be losing, guys. What are we doing? We're trying to get a pick. So I don't know how that happened, but I'm going to give the Giants my winner of the week just for that. Tony, you got a winner this week?
Mike Evans.
Hey, he's still got something in the tank, doesn't he?
He's over 200 yards for the first two games, 240 something. Dude, he is headed for 1,000 yards and a huge contract.
Yeah, they should have locked him up before. He's going to get paid by somebody. Yeah. All right, El, you got a winner this week?
I have watched like 17 minutes of football, so I just don't want to lie to the people. No, I don't have a winner. I do have a lock of the week, though. I've got bets. Okay. Don't listen to him.
Pops, what you got?
I guess if you have to, I don't really have a good winner, but I'm going to say the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers
good
are 2-0.
Yeah, good
the
choices.
The Bucs are 2-0. Yeah. I mean, I thought that's
did not
their
see
winner.
That coming. But they get the Eagles on Monday night. They're doing another doubleheader, two games on Monday night again this next week. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, I don't they didn't
love
do it that. The first weekend. They used to do it just the
yeah.
first.
Yeah, they
weekend.
Used to do it just the first weekend. And now they're doing two
and three.
I just don't know who gave the green light for this. I don't like.
They didn't ask us, did they?
No, I don't like it. Although I say with YouTube TV and my Sunday ticket, I can split the screen and see them both at the same time.
No free ads, but they just got one.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Also, I did want to mention, is everybody up to date with the shenanigans that happened at the Rams and 49ers and how that may have changed?
Can you explain it to me? Because I have no idea.
So the score was 30-20
okay.
in the game. Rams are losing. They're kind of driving. No timeouts. They're kind of driving just in garbage time, you know. And then just for what it's worth, the point spread on this game was either 49ers minus 7 or 49ers minus 7.5. It was always around there. Yeah. Never really moved from around there. The Rams go down there. And then on third down, they throw a ball just short. I think it was to Puka Nacua because he caught everything thrown his way. But he caught one just short of the sticks. And Stafford sprints up the refs real quick on it. He grabs the ball, spots it. They run up there and they spike it. And from the 30-yard line, they kick a field goal to make it a 7-point game as time expires.
So they played their asses off to get it within 7.
And if at that point you're down 10, I mean, just go for a touchdown?
Yeah, maybe? Or just let it go. Either way, there's two options.
McVay was asked about it, and he was like, I don't know what the spread is to any games, but it just kind of looked like someone got down there in their ear and was like, hey, the line's 7. Let's refs, Sean, let's go. Come on, just get a field goal here. I don't know. A lot of people were.
I will argue the other side, though. I do think the idea behind it would be let's practice this like quick field goal unit. Swap.
Yeah.
Like that's, you want to do that week two if you can.
At the end of the day, I don't think things are rigged, and I didn't have any money on this game. So I just thought it was funny when I saw it on the internet and just saw it happen in real time. But for some friends who did, I know had 7.5, they sure thought this is BS and the NFL's out to get us.
That's a division game. And so point spread could come into play with a tie.
True. Good point. That's a good point.
And because of that game, and to see that Sean McVay, whether knowingly or not, will do what's needed at the end. He'll call the cover field goal at the end of the game if need be. The Rams might not win a whole lot of games, but I'll probably have them as underdogs in a lot. They play hard. Stafford looks good. Those receivers, I don't know if Cooper Kupp is a system guy. I'm not saying he is, but man, they just inserted these Puka Nacua, and he looks like Cooper Kupp.
Well, I saw a good really point weird. where Stafford learned how to feed the hot guy when he had Calvin Johnson, and he has not let go of that skill set since then.
So, and if you can see the field the same way he sees the field, which it looks like they were breaking it down a lot, and Puka's really good at, oh, I'll break it down right here. I'll break my route off right here because it's opening, and Stafford would be right on him every time.
Yeah, once he knows who to throw to, he's going to find him every time he's open.
These are crazy stats. Just real quick, Puka Nacua has over – he had 20 targets in this game.
Yeah.
20 targets.
Wild.
He has 33 targets through two games. It's the most ever by a rookie. It almost broke the record by Odell Beckham Jr. for most by a rookie in a game. He is on pace to have 200-something targets, which would put him right around – oh, no, 300-something targets with 215 catches by the end of the season.
Well, I think – didn't he break the rookie record of yards in a game for a receiver?
Yes.
I mean it's either yards or catches.
Maybe I think he broke the record for yards in his first two games.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. And he had 25 receptions, I think, in his first two games.
Wild. I mean,
33 targets.
Yeah. Dude's on fire.
Just for the record, I do not think Cooper Kupp is a system player. He is a very good receiver, but I do think LJ has a point. Between Sean McVay and Matt Stafford, if they got a guy who's they can feed a hot hand really well. They know how Stafford or McVay knows how to draw up a game plan for someone. And Stafford really knows how to execute it. If
you can make Cam Akers look good, you can make anybody look good.
Cam Akers, there needs to be a 30 for 30 of Cam Akers. He's been almost traded and then back to the starting running back for the Rams more times than Cam. I think he's only like 23 years old.
Yeah. He didn't get a touch last week, right?
No, now he's on the trading block. He was inactive. And then he tweeted during the game, "I'm just as confused as y'all are." And now he's on the trading block.
Well, I'm not that confused.
But it's not the first time he's been on the trading block. No. He was on the trading block at one point last year and then ended up being like an RB1 for a lot of fantasy.
I'm not confused. He ain't going to be a Ram for long.
Cleveland is calling right now.
Oh, is that a Cleveland area code on the phone?
Why wouldn't Cleveland just go get Kareem Hunt? I mean, he knows the
playbook.
Well,
he's in the building on Tuesday night. So
yeah, Cleveland, he's in the building. They said he's lost a step. They really don't want him. But
They cut him to keep the Ford kid, right?
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Supposedly they love the Ford kid.
Ford looked pretty decent. So
he did. He did.
All right. I think do we have anything else we want to touch on from week two before we go look at some picks maybe for week three? We're good? Yeah, all right. Week three then. We're starting a little something called the Just Press Play Parlay. And each week we're going to give you, each one of us will have a pick. It can be, in years past, we've done favorites, dogs, all this. This is just your favorite pick. It can be a dog. It can be a point spread. It can be a favorite, whatever you want. You tell me, we'll put it in and we'll see how much money, and we'll kind of calculate throughout the year if we end up being up or down on what we may or may not be placing these bets. So for your purposes out there, keep that in mind. Bet smart if you are betting, but we're just going to see. If you bet every single one, would you have been a winner on the year? So, LJ, you told me you got locks. You might not have watched a ton of football, but you got some
easy
locks.
Easy. And I'll give you, and then we can decide what we want to throw in the parlay after this. But I'll give you two. I think the Giants plus 10 against the Niners. I think the Niners play close to whoever they're against.
There's a chance Barkley doesn't play.
Still taking it. I think the Niners play close. I think the Niners always play close. I mean, not always.
I want to put whatever your other lock
week
is.
Week one was gross. And then I'm going to take the Titans money line dogs against the Browns.
Oh, he's just going money line.
Yeah.
That man said, I don't need a point.
Money line dogs. Give it to me. I don't even care about that plus three. Give me straight up. I'll take that.
Tony Pops, if you had to put one of the, we're going to just put one each in the Just Press Play parlay. Do y'all have a choice? Y'all have a.
I have to choose one of those.
No, I mean, he gave us.
Okay, good.
You can choose everyone for you, but we got to get LJ's narrowed down to one. He just got so many locks.
Yeah, no, these are both guarantees.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I've got one. I mean, you want to take one?
Out of LJ's, I'd rather go bet on Mike Vrabel than bet against who we just said was maybe the best team in the NFL.
I'm on the other side of that San Francisco New York Giants game.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, we need to go with the Titans.
We can't parlay both of those, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't let you. That doesn't make much. Okay. So you're going 49ers minus 10.
Is that what you're picking, Pops?
No, that's not my pick. Oh, okay. But I was just on the other side of that game. My pick is Carolina's coming across the country to play Seattle at Seattle. Seattle's 5.5-point favorite. I'll take Seattle and give you the 5.5.
Okay.
5.5 Seattle. You might be getting that some other places at 6, but we got it at -5.5 in the Just Press Play Parlay.
Yeah.
Tony Green, what you got?
Well, I like that bet, except I made a promise I would never bet on the Seattle Seahawks ever again after week one, because I said the exact same thing about Seattle. But anyway, I have Washington plus six at home against the Bills.
I see plus 6.5 where I'm looking.
Yeah, I got. Plus, we can get 6.5 in the Just Press Play
Parlay. I'll take it even better. Here. I like the Commanders plus 6.5. I really do like that. That's a big home dog there for a team that's playing pretty tough defense.
I agree. That's a good point.
That's running the football with Brian Robinson Jr. The Bills, who still quite haven't figured it out. I think that's going to be a close game. So I'll take Washington plus 6.5.
I like that.
I think you're wrong.
And for the fourth leg of the Just Press Play Parlay, I know this is a showdown of two 2-0 teams, but I just don't think Baker Mayfield's that good. Give me the Eagles minus 5. I think they should be favored by at least a touchdown. Yeah. So I'll take Eagles minus 5. That gets us, that parlay right there is plus $14.69. We throw $5 on that, we win $78. So,
but you're trusting me with a lot there, so. Yeah.
We'll see. And LJ went with the one plus money. Yeah, he took the plus odds with the money.
Our listeners can take those four and make a three-game parlay, whichever they
want. Just decide which three you like out of that.
Or you can do a round robin three, and then you only need three. Yeah,
I'm just saying, when the Titans straight up beat the Browns, we're going to be
I'm going to say, LJ, thank you. We knew it. Thank you for helping me get cash in my pocket.
It could happen. Yeah. It could happen.
Hey, Deshaun Watson at times looked like a lost.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson is basically going to be as involved next week as Nick Chubb is. So
it is funny. The line, we talked about how it's a loser leave town game, but in the line on that Chargers Vikings, it's Chargers minus a half point. So Vegas is basically throwing their hands up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't call it. Both these teams will probably try to find a way to lose it at some point. So somebody's got to win, I guess, or it could tie. I guess it's the regular season.
That would tell you they think the Chargers are the better team because the Vikings are at home. They should be 2.5.
True. Favorites, yeah.
So. But Dolphins at home minus 6.5 against the Broncos. Like, I'm just, that feels like easy money.
Are you saying?
I'm just throwing it out.
Are you wanting to change?
No, I'm not wanting to change. I'm just saying.
I had that one down.
That feels like easy money.
I like some games this week.
Seven points for a home Dolphins against the Broncos. Like, it just feels reasonable.
That air is going to be so thick. You can't breathe that air if you're used to it.
Yeah, not from mountain folk. Yeah.
Altitude. Man, that's going to be like smelling, breathing.
They're
going to
drown when they get down there.
Oh. Yeah, LJ, you might be right. We might have missed a good one there. I don't know. Because that might be the day that Russell Wilson gets benched.
Yeah. Well, he's going to do his knee highs on the plane, so he'll probably be all right.
Very true. All right. I think that wraps us up for football talk. Before we get out of here, Pops, do you have any kind of bougie problem, or how are things going?
You know, I'm just busy. I don't really have a bougie problem again this week. Life's not bad. It's just too busy to me to get pissed off about things.
That's good. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. Tone, do you have anybody else have any bougie problems or anything before we get to figure out what Uncle Tony's drinking?
I got some music.
I thought I had a bougie problem, and I just cannot remember. Oh, LJ, I got – well, before we get to Tone, we hadn't done it in a while, so just for fun, impromptu what we're listening to. I'll start, L, just because you showed me this guy, and I just today randomly kind of got back on him. Little Anthony Hamilton.
Ooh,
soul music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, that's who we're going with lately. Who you got?
So over the last few weeks, I've been listening to almost nonstop Zach Bryan with his beautiful Oklahoma Arrest video. And then Adeem the Artist, another country artist that I've just really been into. So Adeem the Artist is my other one I'm listening to.
All right, Pops, you got anybody that's been playing in the background while you're working?
I'm really into Wild Rivers right now. Yeah, I think I've mentioned them before, but I mean, I'm listening to everything they put out. I really like those guys. It's a guy and a girl mainly that sing lead, but really harmonized together beautifully. Yeah. Wild Rivers.
Tone, you got anybody? You've been listening to anything different? Maybe some Metallica?
Pablo Cruz. I found I was at a record store a couple weeks ago down in Benton. I won't advertise here for free, but that's a really good one down in downtown Benton.
For a record store?
Yeah, we want record stores selling. Yeah. Oh, what do they call it?
Man, Retro Rose. There's a little record store down in the square in downtown Benton. I really enjoy going in there. They always got something unique. Picked up a copy of Honky Chateau the other day. Elton nice. John, that's a hard record to find. They had that. But they had Pablo Cruz for $4.99. I just had to get it.
Nice.
And I've been just doing my yacht rock. I mean, it's been great. Keep your heart.
There we go. Cruz. Well, Tone, I see you have something over there. What is Uncle Tony drinking on?
All right. Well, I got a present from a friend of the pod, Mr. John Odell. So I got a shout out to him. But this is called Redwood Empire Rye Whiskey.
It's so good.
It is a rye whiskey coming out of Sonoma. Are you familiar with
this? Yes, I've had that. Yeah, a few times.
This is really good. So this one is the Emerald Giant. It's a very young rye whiskey. So it's only aged approximately 4 years. They say at least 4 years. But I think it's a combination with them and a distillery. But they ship it out and they age it there in Sonoma and these the barrels that are out there. But it's a really nice whiskey. It's got a lot of flavors. It's not too harsh for a younger rye whiskey, and rye whiskeys normally have a little more bite to them, but this one's really smooth for a rye whiskey, but a lot of flavor. So I really like it. So
what is
Redwood Empire? Redwood Empire.
That's a good one. This that's is a the very Emerald good one. Giant.
That's yeah. making me want, you know, a fire place going or something and a glass yeah. of whiskey, just feet kicked
up. Yep.
So I'm guessing better than Malort.
No, probably. Wait, what? No.
Just
let's not get crazy.
Barely. Okay.
All right. I think that does it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with a breakdown from week three and probably talking about how we just cashed a Just Press Play parlay. So
easy money.
We'll see y'all next time. It's easy money.
Peace.
Peace.